What's up, guys? Welcome to the Rebuild Stronger podcast, where we talk about all things powerlifting, strength sport, business, and life. Hope you enjoy.
You got to come up with the ideas, remember?
Are we talking about self-handling?
We can talk about self-handling.
I think it's something that's important. And I think it's something that a lot of people don't do these days because they have a coach so early and have a coach handle them and everything.
All right. So,
not that having a coach too early, but.
No, I don't disagree. I think it's actually a couple things with self-handling that people avoid doing it for. Number one, I think, yes, there's a lot of coaches around. There's a lot of personal trainers that get people involved in it, and they want to help.
Yeah.
Also, I have watched personal trainers try to handle people for the first time in a powerlifting meet, and it results in absolute disaster.
Oh.
I don't know if there's a single time I've seen poor – kids and unfortunate lifters open far too high, especially for the moment, not have peaked very well, and essentially just bomb out. But I also think there's a bit, especially in the USAPO in our region, I think there's a bit of the meets feel so big. And they feel so extravagant that people feel like doing it alone is really difficult. Like they don't want to screw it up.
I can understand that. Yeah. Especially, you know, one of the more top end ones that's got all the production. And it's just like there's lights, there's cameras, there's video submissions for your third attempt. I could understand how that would be overwhelming and discourage someone from wanting to self-handle.
Well, it's also becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's already rules that they've probably not trained with before. Like, please God, read your rule book. Please read your rule book. Navigating that in and of itself, and then they've got the weigh-ins and how to make declarations. Oh man, it's probably still one of the wildest things in my entire life. There's a time I watched a guy, I think I've told you the story before, where Jones and I showed up to a meet. And we knew it was going to be the two of us and one other guy that 100% were going to be at the bottom of the flight list for every single lift.
Yeah.
We get there and we look down, and at the very bottom of the flight list for squat is some guy we'd never heard of before. And we were like, holy crap. He was opening up like way more than all of us. And we were like looking around in the warm-up room. We're like, I don't see anybody that looks the part. Right? Like, I don't see anybody that's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely like that. It's that guy over there, right? This poor kid comes out, man, and I swear to God, he bent his knees and it looked like somebody cut the cable for an elevator, and he just free-falled straight down, wham, right to the bottom of the floor. Didn't get hurt, thank God.
Yeah.
With the walkout, I'm surprised the spotters. But it was so fast. Everything happened so fast.
Yeah.
Bar hit the ground. He hit the ground like terrible. He opened up somewhere in the sevens.
Yeah. I was going to say, probably was thinking somewhere in the 300s and called 300 and something kilos.
Yep. Yep. He called 300 some kilos and he thought it was going to be pounds and got absolutely flattened. Packed up his stuff and left. I felt bad for him,
yeah.
But that's the other part. Cause if you're listening and you're like, what do you mean? Why did he pack up and leave? Cause he's not going to get a squat in.
Yeah.
Because by the rules he screwed up. Like you can't, oh my bad. I'm at 300 some pounds and they're going to just throw you back in the flight at 300 some pounds. Nope. So there's the newness of the rules. And then all that fanfare. I just think, man, for somebody's first meet,
yeah,
that can be daunting.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm super thankful. My first two meets, my, you know, buddy who was coaching me for free did handle me because he had done a few powerlifting meets before me. And so it was super easy. It's just like, hey, this is how you're going to get your rack kites. This is how we're going to submit. He put in my numbers. We kind of did a little check-in. Like it was easy to do. And I really do appreciate it. And I think my third meet was the first one where I self-handled. And that's where, like, I think I was like, okay, I got to learn from this dude. Now it's on my own. And it was, you know, loading up plates, sharing a bar with other people. And, you know, a little bit of, like, kind of seeing how I would do because I had to call my own numbers. I knew what my plan was. And the whole thing was like, don't be thinking about your next number on your second attempt. Do your attempt, then call your number and hopefully just be able to recall it, which... Mm. You know, I was like freaking out at the time, but ended up being fine. I went 7 for 9 and had a PR day.
Yeah.
But
I mean, those are solid days, and there's a lot of learning from that. You probably learned a ton. But like there's this drive now to like always be handled, which I mean, when we were back in my day, when we were coming up, we just competed a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and we competed, like, we traveled as a crew, so it was typically always at least me and Jones, and then Brian Ball would come and compete with us for a couple years there, and Tommy Hawk, and, like, we had our guys, but, like, we didn't have handlers.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of, yes, we handled each other because we were all kind of in the same weight class.
Yeah, throwing on weights together,
yeah,
taking them off.
We would travel together, and we would do that stuff together, but there's never really, like, we didn't have handlers.
Yeah, you didn't have someone going to the score table for you, like you being blind as to what you were lifting next. Like,
no, we did in Nationals.
Yeah.
Nationals, we had Barrett and Chris. Shout out to Barrett, Barrett Young and Chris Alberts. They were phenomenal. They flew up or actually drove up to Columbus. Was it in Columbus? No, that was the Arnold. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They came out with us. We all stayed in a big Airbnb. And they were champs, man. They handled us and made calls. And at the time, Barrett was running a couple meets, so he knew how things flowed. But they were a blessing in that setting. But not everything is Nationals.
Yeah.
You don't need that necessarily in a local meet. And my very first meet, and really, honestly, for the first, like, 3 to 4 years, I never really had a handler. My first meet, my wife and I went. It was 100% raw. Awesome federation. Like, honestly, awesome federation, especially if you're just trying to get into it. It's low pressure. The meets are a lot of fun. They're ran super smooth. They have some different, I think their equipment restrictions aren't the same as they used to be. It used to be literally like wrist straps and a belt. That's it.
Yeah.
No knee sleeves.
They do allow knee sleeves now.
Yep. There were no knee sleeves. There was no equipment. You couldn't do single multiply. It was literally raw. Wrist wraps and a belt, and that's it.
Yeah.
But awesome federation. That's where I met Laura Siegel.
Oh, okay.
It was at a we were in a hotel in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. It really was. It was the middle of nowhere, Virginia. And we were in and out of that bad boy. We got through like 60, 75 lifters in like 4 hours. Great time. Hit a bunch of PRs, the same thing. I think I went 8 for 9 or 7 for 9, and had an absolute blast, man. Had an absolute blast. But we met so many people, and so many people were so helpful that I don't think I'd have it any other way. I wouldn't want somebody walking me around and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have experienced as much and met as many people if I'd had it done that way.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably – like self-handled, like I've had friends there with me, kind of the same situation as you for half my meets. And it's, we're going in and out of the bar. Maybe at my last warm-up, I'm getting lazy. I'm like the one friend who's not going to be like, hey dude, can we load up 5 plates for this last deadlift? Something like that. But for the most part, like I kind of thought in my head, I'm just like, this is just kind of like me training at the gym, doing a heavy SPD day, which back then I used to do more. Not really any more now. Now. But I mean, even my last meet, which was in January, the one that I did do raw, no belt, no knee sleeves. I did do wrist wraps because I was reverse grip benching. That one I had a friend who came out. She didn't get there till I think she missed squats, and she was there for bench, which was nice because reverse grip was a lot nicer to get some liftoffs.
Yeah,
but it was like whole squats. I just went through. I shared the bar with like 2 or 3 other people. I loaded all the plates. I took them off. I hit a PR. I hit 473 beltless, no sleeves at 5 weeks post partial quad tear. Like, and it was just a good day of like, it honestly felt, I don't know if it was because it was no handler or anything or like no one I even knew, But it was just super low pressure, and it was honestly one of my most fun meets because everyone I met there, I'd never met before. It was all new. I just kind of was like, yeah, hop on in. Like, I tried to honestly help a lot of other people who I knew, like, didn't have a handler and needed some help. I was like, yeah, hop on in. What do you need?
Yeah.
And it made it better for me being that way.
It's fun. And I think what people, then when they look at a handler, right, when they look for a coach, I don't know if expectations are even really like set either. Mm-hmm. I think there's this thing where it's making the calls and playing the game and like all that stuff. But again, you don't need that until a higher level.
Yeah.
You really don't. I know this is going to be like, what do you mean? You don't need to win a bunch of local competitions where you're the only person in the weight class. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. At the highest level, and I've been there with Jeremy Hartman and Zach and everybody running numbers and trying to crunch dot scores, yeah, and trying to make the right call. And do you think he's got another 2.5 in him or another 5 in him? And like that sort of thing. Like that's where the rubber meets the road of being like a great handler.
Yeah.
But if you here's my big piece. If you've never self-handled and you've never self-handled repeatedly, you have a really hard time assessing if a coach is worth it as a handler. Because if you get a handler, it shouldn't just make the day easy. It should elevate the whole day.
Yeah.
I've learned so much from Zach Cooper because I've coached next to him at the Arnold Nationals. USAPL Pro, I've coached next to him so many times. Like when his athletes walk up to a platform, the whole platform is ready. There's not, you know, nobody's scrambling, nothing like that. You've seen me. I do the same thing. I have this habit of like, I take 2.5s and I put 2.5s on the floor on the platform so nobody can come over and start stealing shit. Like there's so many little things that Zach does extraordinarily well. And so does Jeremy, and so does some of these people at the highest levels, where it elevates the whole day. Like it's not just, oh, I have somebody to tell me when I have to take my pre-workout, or you know, can make calls for me. Like no, they are sit down, like take a breath.
Yeah,
the motivational stuff in the in between, because they're so confident in the warm-ups and all the other pieces of the puzzle that's automatic.
Yeah.
So if you've never self-handled and you get somebody who's trash at handling, then you're not going to know any better. You're not going to look in and be like, wow, that really elevated my day. No, you were just kind of pampered and your hand held a little bit. But did that elevate you substantially as a lifter? Because that is what an actual handler should do. And, you know, God bless again, Susie Hart with Gary. Matt Gary, there's the two people that I learned how to meet handle from a core standpoint. And it's one of the reasons why I was able to look at somebody like Zach and pick up all the little things. But man, like being phenomenal at meat handling as a coach is a skill set that a lot of people don't develop. Mm-hmm. And a lot of athletes don't develop a critical eye for because they don't self-handle ever.
I think too that self-handling, it allows you to get to know yourself better so that when, like, again, the Garys, they handle mostly people they don't coach. Mm-hmm. And they have interviews with them. They talk with them. They film study. And I think self-handling allows you to, like, hey, this is what I'm like on the platform when there's no one else around me. Like, this is the genuine me. This is how I react to misses, how I react to that shouldn't have moved that hard. Knowing yourself so that when you do have a handler, you can be like, hey, this is the stuff I've experienced, not just like, oh yeah, I've had someone handle me every time and tell me what to do. Like then it's like, okay, are you ready for a missed second? How are you going to react to that? How do you want a coach to help you react to that?
Oh, bobbing and weaving with a crappy meat day? Like every single meat I've ever been to? Here's the thing. There are crews that I absolutely love because they keep me safe. I have an absolute blast. I go to their events and I'm like, this is great. But I've never had a meet that didn't have something weird happen.
Yeah.
Okay. At every level, Powerlifting America, age group nationals, for an entire flight, the bench was cockeyed in the thing, right? It was the ER rack. Somebody had screwed in one side too much and the bench was twisted. And one of the athletes finally is like halfway through seconds or towards the end of seconds.
Yeah.
Lays down on it and the full thing settles. Like that was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's at the highest level. I've seen local meets that have been absolute disasters that have taken 12 to 13 hours to get through 30 people.
Yeah.
That's right. 30. So.
Sounds like you're talking about strongman.
It felt like it. It felt like it. The ER rack in that one didn't even have all the pins. The pins were so long, right? And they came in to the side. The pins were so long that they actually ran into the plates.
Mm.
So people would come down and a pin would snag a calibrated plate and throw them off. Dude, it was terrible.
I saw that happen. They were using an ER rack, but they were using just traditional pound plates. It was an unsanctioned meet.
Mm-hmm.
And my guy's trying to unrack and he's caught and he's just doing like an isometric lat pullover.
Yep.
And it was just like, what the heck?
Yep. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's not a single meet that's going to run 100% smooth. So you've got to learn a couple things when you self-handle. You have to learn how to advocate for yourself. So you've got to learn like, I need to go over to this rack. I need to communicate the things that I need. I need to step in and make sure I stay in the rotation, because it's really easy to like sit back and just kind of let yourself get blown over.
Yeah.
And if you have a coach, like I understand that, oh, that's why you have a coach. That doesn't always work either.
Yeah.
Like if it's a newer coach, if it's one of those things, they don't know those people, they're not going to be as assertive. They don't know what the, what's the word I'm looking for? The behavior. It's not behavior. The etiquette.
Yeah.
They don't know what the etiquette in a warm-up room is.
Yeah.
So you end up screwing stuff up. Like you end up missing. So you got to learn how to advocate for yourself. You have to learn how to navigate through the day. I have watched people forget things. I have watched people forget to eat. I have watched people do a whole bunch of wild stuff. Like good example is me at for Team Good Guys.
The June one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I came in and I thought Team Good Guys was going to be a wrapped shake the rust off. I hadn't competed in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to self-handle. It'll be fine. And I go to the cave and on my second squat, I feel my knee just like it felt like somebody ripping duct tape. That's what it felt like. And I was like, okay, cool. So I knew something was up. I make the decision because I've handled myself so many times. Like, I'm just going to walk over. I'm going to scratch my third because I know that's an option that I have. If I had never self-handled and that was my first time, I might have just come up and just been like, oh, I got to take a third.
Yeah.
I got to go up 2.5 kilos. And if I went up 2.5 kilos, I probably wouldn't have hit it. My knee was killing me. That's just going to add insult to injury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that would not have been good. And then because of that, I thought to myself, all right, cool. So my goal on the day was a 500 bench. I've got a little extra juice here. And let me like really recover and sit down and calm down and do all those sorts of things. And I ended up smashing, what was it, 518?
I think that's the number, yeah. It was 512 or 518.
Yeah, it's 518, I think, is what I ended up hitting. And I made my way all the way to my first 2K total, self-handled.
Yeah.
Through a meet that, like, could have had a bunch of different bobs and weaves to it that if I didn't know how to manage myself through those things, it would have never happened.
Yeah.
All
it was, the only thing me and Kevin did was do a math to make sure that your third deadlift was going to get 2K.
Yeah, I was literally like.
You were like double checking with two other people.
Please check my math, guys. Is this going to work? But like that all came from knowing how to self-handle and knowing how to do other things. And a couple months later, I did Freaks. And I did that. I ended up switching over and doing that single ply. And I had like an army with me.
Yeah.
Because Neil was going to handle me and then Trey ended up getting sick. So I had Trey. I had like this whole crew of people. RJ was there. He helped out. Like this whole crew of people. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it elevated the day. Like I didn't have to worry about anything. Neil was amazing because he's handled me before. So he understood all those things. And that meet ended up going till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because it started at like 9.
Yeah, it was like the Halloween one.
Yeah, it was the late night one.
Yeah.
Freaks come out at night. So Micah decided to start it at like 9 p.m. And we went all the way to 2 o'clock. I took a nap in between.
Yeah.
Neil came, woke me up, got me hype again. Like,
I was still in Colorado. I remember I like had it on the TV. I was like laying on the couch, just like, all right, when the show, oh, Papa Bear Rogers is on. He's doing this comeback from the double quad tear.
Oh yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Emotional day.
Yeah.
Just that's in general. Cool. Emotional day there. But like, yeah, he had his crew. I had my crew. We were all, a whole bunch of friends around. And that like elevates the whole experience.
Yeah.
You know, but self-handling is a skill and you have to expose yourself to it. And I made a post a couple weeks ago. I think people should compete more often early.
Yeah.
This is one of those reasons why.
Yeah.
Like you should. If you don't peak for everything, don't train to maximize every result, every meet you do. Like, just go compete.
Yeah. If you can do an SBD Saturday, you can go sign up for a meet without peaking.
I 100% agree. And I understand the argument's going to be like, well, that's cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
And I get that, right? In the same token, okay? This is where I'm going to start getting critical. In the same token, 100% raw has super, super cheap meat fees. Travis Rogers for months was trying to get quick draw meets, which were essentially SBD Saturdays, but sanctioned, where you could actually like post a total for $75.
Yeah.
And nobody was registering for him. Like the issue is that kind of the root of the whole, like, you need to learn how to self-handling is I think people take themselves way too fucking seriously.
Yes.
And they need to chill.
Yeah. Every meet day becomes trying to set the world on fire.
You got a PR all across the
board. PR, like, the world's against you. Got to overcome it all. Like, nah, dude, just go have fun. Go cheer on other people.
I'll never forget. And I at the time, it was funny because, like, half the room giggled, right? I'm at the USAPL Level 1 coaching course with Matt and Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, towards the end of the book, he's talking about meat selection. He's talking about numbers.
Yeah.
Attempt selection. And he's like, listen, I just want, just real quick. I want you all to just do the math. If you compete 4 to 5 times a year, and every time you go out, you increase your total by 2.5 to 5 kilos every single time, and you compete for the next 10 years, let's just say it's 2.5. So that's 5 times a year puts you at, what is that? 12.5 kilos?
10, 12.5 kilos. Yeah.
Yeah. You're telling me that you don't want to put 50 to 60 kilos on your total or more. And that's just in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. That's where I looked at it. And I was like, it sunk in. I was like, man, it's a long game. Go to improve, go to learn every single time. Take your time with it because, and there is I get it. There's a level of urgency for some of these things, but like you can get stupid strong in a 5 year span.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of my favorite recent examples was Jamel at USAPL. We did USAPL Nationals this last summer, but I think it was 6 or 8 weeks before they had the Masters Invitational with USAPL. And he was like, well, what should I sign up for? I said, why don't we do both? And we only peak for Nationals because that's the big one. And like the Invitational is still kind of a big one, but it was lesser. We were running Cube Method. We were right in the middle of it. I think we had 12 weeks planned out, and then it was going to be 6 weeks of like, all right, now we're going to hit our heavies and build up for Nationals. We go to the Masters Invitational, first 9 for 9 meet, PRs, squat and deadlift. I think he matched his bench press and a PR total. And it was like, we were rotating the heavy day, the fast day, and the rep day. And yeah, it was just like, he was like, yeah, this is one like low pressure. He handled himself. And he just had a blast. And then when we went to Nationals, shoot, I think he hit a 5 or 7.5 kilo squat PR, 2.5 kilo bench PR, and another 5 or 7 on deadlift.
Yeah, it's weird. You can actually go and like set PRs and have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was the key thing. Like he walked out of that meet. He's like, I'm not overly sore. I don't feel beat to shit. And I had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, yeah, why don't we do that more often?
Yeah. And that's the whole point. You know, I don't want to get off into a tangent that's not related to self-handling, because that's core of the podcast here. But I think the next one I want to kind of talk a little bit about, like, taking yourself the right amount of serious.
Yeah.
Because the counter argument to what we're saying is like, well, yeah, John, but I have to train. Like, I'm trained. Like, yeah. You want me to compete 4 to 5 times a year when I'm first starting out, but I'm training, you know, 3 hours a day, and I'm doing this 3.5-hour SBD day on Saturday, and I'm doing all of this stuff. Like, my counter argument would be, okay, well, you're training like your top tier athlete already. Maybe you should figure out the basics of training first.
Yeah.
And peel that back a little bit, compete more often,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get embedded into the community and make friends in it and, mm-hmm. and make it something that's really fun and really interesting, as opposed to like try to get to elite in a short period of time, because that's where the wheels fall off for most people, as they try to get to that level before they've built the base. The base is meet experience and training consistently, and you can train consistently for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Like, I've gotten phenomenal results with people 45 minutes twice a week.
Yeah.
You don't need 3 hours. It doesn't take me 3 hours to get, we're about to get into the shirt right now. It does not take me 3 hours to do that. I've got an hour and 20 minutes until my next call.
Yep. Just get your heavy, do your accessories, and you're done.
Yeah. So, for next time.
For next time.
That's what we'll talk about next time. All sweet. Right.
We'll put it on the books.
Compete more. Handle yourself. Stop being spoiled.
What's up, Rebuilders? Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Also, leave a rating that helps people like you find the show and reach more people. Appreciate you. See you at the next one.